You and I, on our journey back and forth to the cross, continual back and forth, what's it all about? It's all about you and your relationship to the very one who gave his life for you. He did not say, I'm going to do all of this. Now you get out there and you take care of yourself. He says, come unto me. All of you who are heavy laden, come unto me. I will give you rest. It's a journey. Well, in one of those journeys that you may have continually, back and forth to the cross, I want to focus on that as the journey of tears. The journey of tears. Have you ever thought about how many tears that you have shed in your life? Ever since you've been born, how many tears that you have shed? Have you thought about just the tears that you've shed during the time that you're telling God that you're sorry for the sin in your life, knowing that you said, I love your son, I love you, Lord, with all my heart, and then continue in your favorite sin? Everyone has a favorite sin. Now, you do. There's one that you just get hooked on, whatever it is. Now, preacher, I'm not sure what you call sin. Sin is anything that disobeys God. That's why every human being within the sound of my voice lives in a state of sin. But it's not, when Christ died on that cross for us and he gave it all, it's not as though it meant as though we had never sinned. It meant he died in the process of our sinning, expressing his great love to me. I'm a sinful human being because I'm a human being. God said himself, he said, I know now the man's heart is evil continually. Because of what we contend with within our own life and all the things around us. Now, folks, listen to me. We just heap on stuff on our life when we don't have to. We have an opportunity to turn and to run. Sometimes it's a good idea when you know that God is tapping you on the shoulder over something you're getting ready to do, to turn and to run. And yet again, because of our human condition, and because God loves us, he convicts us of the sin in our life, and we are the only ones of his creation that cries. Did you know that? Now you see animals having tears. That's to clean their eyes or to that's natural effect. But you and I are the only ones with emotion. The only ones created by God that can actually, because of the emotional state of us, we cry. Have you ever cried so hard that it was just as though, I remember in one situation in my life where I was in the middle of the field and I was laying there crying and my body was bouncing. That's the depth of despair that your pastor was in at that time. And all the tears in the world. And you talk about shaking, Brother Randy? My whole body was shaking. If you'd been very close by, you'd have thought it was an earthquake nearby. That's how much in distress that I was. But right in the middle of that, and I've told you this before, was God. And like he just put a hand on it, and as I have told before, it's like Get up, stupid. Larry, do you know that the things that cause you the greatest distress you bring on yourself? The Lord is there continually to forgive, to lift us up. But we keep battling. There's something wrong with us people. We have a Savior that loved us so much, He died on the cross for us. And that Savior wants to give us love, eternal life, hope. He said, I'll take care of you. I'll see that you have what you need. I don't even worry about the clothes you wear. I'll see to it that you're taken care of. And we are out there going against every bit of the love that He's trying to place on us. So we go back to the cross, weeping. Tears to me are the weapon of grace from God. It's a weapon that God has given us because God, our Father, says, I record each tear you shed. Whoa. Do you realize how important that makes you? And how much God cares about you that He says that I record your tears. He knows what's in each teardrop that falls from you. Did you know it was a custom of the day? And this is why you'll hear David mentioning this about God's record of us. The custom of the day that the mourners that were around mourning the dead or mourning the sick and all of this, they actually carried little cups or little bottles to where they would save their tears. They would scoop up their tears, Brother Randy, and then they would seal them. And at the time of burial, those tears were placed in the tomb as symbolism. Well, God doesn't place them in a tomb because Jesus has already opened the tomb and He's been set free. And in doing so, He made sure that you and I would see the freedom of the tears. Tears shed. God keeps the record, Psalm 56, verses 8 and 9. You keep track of all my sorrows. Let me tell you, folks, don't you worry about having to write them all down. God already has. You keep track of all my sorrows, says David. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded, now listen to me, you have recorded each one in your book. What book? What book? Well, it could be the book of life. But Scripture says that God has other books. The book of life is open, and then the other books are open. What does that entail? I don't have any idea, but I do know this. I do know that God has recorded each one of my tears and your tears in His book. I made the book. You made the book. I made the cut also. I'll see you all in heaven. Jesus pays so close attention to your hurt and your pain that He watches over those tears. My enemies will retreat. Listen to David Crowd. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, says David, God is on my side. The tears that we shed, the tears that you are going to cry throughout your whole life are Father filtered. Your Father filters each one. He knows each one. And now the scripture says he counts the very, knows the number of the very hair on your head. But listen to this. There's nowhere in scripture says he records it. But your tears are that special. They say something to God. They speak the hurt and the pain to the depth of who you are. And those tears that are shed, God said, I'm recording. They record your enemies that's made you shed those tears. Oh, Satan's in big time trouble, as you know. But God says, I'm still in control. Amen. I'm the one that's in charge. You call on me. Larry, I want you to know, I am your father. I sent my son. He paid the price. He introduced your name to me. I know you. I know your tears. And I know each one of them by name. We cry when we're happy. We cry when we're sad. We cry when we're hurting. Well, we cry when we're mad. There's so many things that bring the tears. All those tears of pain. Do you not understand that God says, I feel your pain? Now, you have people say that all the time. I feel your pain. No, you don't. You know pain because you're human, but you can't feel my pain. God said, I feel your pain because I saw your tear. I logged it in. It's a journey of tears as we go to the cross. Lord, read my tears. Help me, Father, that I might be whole to help others. And God records them. People say, well, when he, you know, God doesn't forget. Wouldn't he remember them? Yes. But I see it as a record for me. I see me seeing in heaven when the Lord is showing me how many times and what all the great works that he did before me on the path of life, what he cleared out of my path. He's showing me. Oh, by the way, Larry, come in here. Let me show you the record of your tears. I'll show you who caused those tears. Larry, I want you to know something. I know the hurt, the pain, the joy, the good and the bad, tears. And I know because I love you. And I sent my son. Yes, my friends, God records my tears. But Jesus lived them. Jesus lived my hurt and my pain. For every tear that you shed, Jesus has felt it. Jesus had to conquer all things. For all who would ever be born, who had been or ever shall. So therefore he had to feel it all. And therefore, Jesus had to experience the tears. We know the story of Lazarus being dead and Jesus being summoned. And Jesus looking at all of those who said, Lord, we love you. But he had also seen some of the distrust in their heart. Why weren't you here, Lord? Why weren't you here? Remember, this is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. There he is, right there at the burial spot of his good friend Lazarus. His sister standing out there weeping and looking at Jesus and saying, Lord, where were you? And yet they had seen and witnessed all of the miracles. And Jesus looks at their hurt, and the Bible says he cries. Jesus cries. He cried for every one of those mourners. And a mourner said, dude, look at him. Don't you see how much he loved Lazarus? Can you tell how much he loved? Oh, my friends, can you see now how much Jesus hurt for the pain of those he loves? Jesus doesn't just see your tears, he feels them. He feels the joy, but he feels that pain, the physical, the psychological, the spiritual, any kind of pain that will come upon you, Jesus feels. And he lives. Oh, he had to live my tears. He had to live my tears. You think you got it bad? With your tears? With your problems? You think you really have it bad? Jesus took every tear that would ever be shed by anybody that would ever be born. And he felt it all. Tell me he wasn't in agony in that garden, right? Well, with the two times that we have recorded where it said talking about Jesus weeping or Jesus crying, well, so were those the only two times? Oh, no. No, my friends. There's so much Jesus will give us in the Bible, just a touch of what life is all about, of what all he has done for us. He himself has let us know that if at all, they could record even the miracles that Jesus had performed, the world could not hold the books it would take to write them. There's a miracle in every tear. And it's given to you. Because you see, whatever that tear is representing, it is taken before God the Father and felt by Jesus, his son. Jesus can attest to your pain. Jesus is the witness of your happiness and excitement and in joy of your salvation. Jesus' love goes so deep, you talk about shaking. That's a deep love because it shakes the universe to its very core. For Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, is on the scene. He's on your scene. He sees your heart. He sees your brokenness. He sees your lies. He sees your sins directly against him, and he weeps. Why do you go through that? Why do you suffer such hurt when I'm here to bring you such joy and such peace? Why don't you receive me and accept me? As he walks on towards the cross, Jesus is overlooking the city. And again, Jesus cries. He says, I would have taken you under my wing like a chicken. Mother hen will take it, baby chicks. I would have held on to you, but you would not let me. We push away from the love of God and the comfort that Christ is wanting to give us because of our own foolishness, because of our own pride. I can handle this. Lord, don't worry about it. You take care of those who can't handle it. Let me tell you, you cannot handle it. Nothing that comes on in your life because that which is evil, that is going against you, come from the very pits of hell, and you can't even handle the good part, much less the power of the evil. So Jesus looks over the city and he weeps. The very ones that were with him, were praising his name. Add this one to your book of knowledge. They were with him, praising him as king, glorifying his name as he was coming in. But they would be the very ones later that would say, crucify him, crucify him. And Jesus wept. He did not weep because he knew he was going to go to the Father. He's the Son of God. It was not because of his agony that he wept, but it was because of you, of me. It was because of those human beings, their tears of joy. He could see in those tears of joy were going to turn to hate. Tears of bitterness, tears of distrust. And Jesus cried, and he cried, and he looks at you, and he looks at me today. Christians, hear me well. He says, I know your tears. I know your heart, that you're wanting to do what is right, but you know in your actions that it is not right. And yet you choose to do evil. You make that choice to become evil. And I will uncover it. And the world will see who you are. And the world will know that you do not worship me. I wonder how many Christians today that truly worship Christ. Or do we worship an idea? Do we worship a building? Do we worship a denomination? Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. I will bring peace to those tears. Trust me, he says, because my friend, when he cries out, he says, I got your tears in the book. You saved? Oh, I'll see you in heaven. But man, we Christians can wreak havoc down here, can't we? We can discourage so many from even coming to church. I don't care what you dress like coming to this church. I do appreciate that you dress. But I don't care how. I want you to know this. When the Lord says, whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can, I mean it when I say it. Whosoever will, let him come. But there's power in that. There's a love that supersedes all understanding. That I'm going to end this message in a little bit. But I want you to know when I end it, I'm going to close it out for you to understand how he understands my tears. He understands your tears. He understands me. He's the only one who does, but he understands you. He does understand our tears. He records them, understands them, and he acts upon those tears. He does not pay attention to you for no reason. But he promises you something. And it's an exciting time. There's a day coming, he says, when no more tears that you will have to contend with. Revelation 21, verse 4. He, who? Jesus. He experienced your tears, conquered your tears. He experienced your sin, conquered your sin. He experienced your life, conquered your life. He experienced your dying, conquered your dying. He experienced everything that's going on in your life, and he conquered it on your behalf. Praise God. Thank him. He's touched your heart, touched your life, promised you heaven, and heaven you shall get. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things have passed away. Now, I'm living right now in the old order of things. You're living right now in the soon to be old order of things. Now, you and I don't particularly like the order in which life is handing itself out to us, do we? Lord, I pray, I understand the pain. I appreciate the pain. And I know that life is doing this to me. But Lord, I could probably praise you a lot better if you let Brother Randy have the pain and let me tell everybody about his pain. No, don't work that way, does it, Brother Randy? No, each one must stand in the presence of Christ, our Savior, individually. All of you who love me will not be allowed to be standing there with me. Got to stand there, but not alone. God's recorded the tears, but the one standing with me and with you is the one who's lived your tears, felt your pain, did it all, and he did it all for you and for me. He said, see, that's just how much I love you, and I want you to understand that great love, because I love you first. And because I loved you first, that love that is in you comes from me. And it cannot lose. Jesus never lost a life. Jesus is in control. No tear was shed without him noticing it. And, hear me, without him wanting to give us the remedy for whatever that tear represents. What's our problem? We're wanting to do everything ourselves. I can handle this. Oh, I have the education. I have the strength. I have this and I have that. You have nothing outside the grace of Almighty God. Thank him. Praise him. Give glory to him. Speak of him among your friends. But don't you ever walk away from the peace and the joy he offers. Do you really think the sins of life are so great fun or joy that it separates you from that relationship with Christ, that fellowship that you need? You need his arms around you, not you running away from them. Because it's the word of God. It's the word that will last throughout eternity. Learn it. Enjoy it. Be at peace in it. Because there's no disease. There's no hurt. There's no agony. There's no power greater than when Jesus looks at your tear and he offers to take care of the hurt. All you have to say is, thank you, Lord. Touch my life. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, We do thank you for love and for joy, for salvation, for the touch, for allowing us to be the only of your creation that can actually cry because of the emotion you've placed in our life. Help us to be weeping one for another when we're hurting, when we're happy. And Father, give us the courage and the boldness to always stand for your truth, your way, and your love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go, remember, my friends, your pastor loves you. God bless you, and may you have a blessed week.